This morning I want us to think of that passage in Matthew chapter 21 and the parable he gives at verse 28. A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." He answered and said, "I will not." But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, "I go, sir," and went not. Whither of them two did the will of his father? And they say unto him, "The first." Is it yes or is it no then? That's the question that is put for these two boys. It's the question that is lingering in the air and from time to time comes home to our conscience whenever we come underneath the impression and the weight and application of this gospel. Is it yes or is it no? We've looked in the past at several parables concerning the kingdom of God. There's seven of them in total, and we've looked at them in chapter 13 of Matthew's gospel. Matthew is the only gospel that talks and uses this theme of the kingdom of heaven. And the question we have is, who is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Sometimes we can discuss it in a very detached way. We can discuss it in a very, almost a theoretical way, by way of requirements and standards and such like. But sometimes we get, or at least sometimes it gets to us, the question comes, and it becomes very, very personal. It becomes a great concern, not just because of the answers that we go looking for. It becomes a question and a concern because it involves me or you. And we see the consequences that hang upon it. Not just simply the right answers. Oh, if it was only that. No. We see that hanging on that question, who's going to enter the kingdom of heaven? Am I going to enter it? There are eternal consequences. And that's what this parable is asking us and putting before us. Who's going to enter the kingdom of God? And of course our Lord says, and he says it in a very vivid and a sharp way to these leaders, the priests, spiritual leaders of the day. The drunks and the prostitutes, they're the ones that will get in. Why? Because they're the ones that heard the message that John the Baptist preached. They heard the words of the gospel that John the Baptist made known to them. And they repented, and they came, and they believed, and they trusted their life and the salvation of their souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. In this passage and chapter, we're down to the very last week of our Lord. Time is short, so his words are sharp. The point that he makes is plain. There's so little time now. Things that are urgent and important have got to be addressed. In the days of our Lord, yes, and with ourselves also. Because not one of us knows how long is left to us. So therefore we've got to make our time count. And as we go on in life, and it's something that comes home to myself, as we go on in life we find, just on the normal assessment of things, our days are getting shorter and fewer. And so we too have got to make our time count. And we've got to be prepared to put the question and the challenge as our Lord did. Put it clearly and plainly, in a way that can't be mistaken. In a simple, short parable like our Lord gives here. It's one of the shortest he speaks. So also, we've got to be plain and short and to the point. When we speak to others in this society round about us, simple questions. Questions are always the best way of getting people to think. We ask people, are you ready to die? Are you ready to die? Some people might say it's a strange question to ask, but it's putting the point plain and simple. It's putting a very simple, powerful point before people. This then, it's one of the shortest parables our Lord, it's the sharpest, one of the sharpest ones he told. The reaction of two boys to the command that the father gave them. The first one said, I'm not going. And we can almost imagine and we can almost create the belligerence in his voice and the body language as he says it. Me? No way. I'm not going. But he later changed and he went. But the other one, filled with respect and regard, says, I'm going, sir. And he didn't. And the point of the parable is simply this, in the question the Lord asked, which one of the two did the will of his father? Who was it that obeyed his father? And of course, they're forced in logic to say, the one who went. And by saying it and putting the answer like that, they're condemning themselves because they're the ones that didn't go. And that's the way the Lord applies it. He makes the point. And then he applies it to the spiritual leaders round about him. Oh yes, outwardly they looked just so. They looked so decent and they looked as if they were, yes sir, I'm going. They looked as if they were obeying and as if they were complying with what the Lord required. But the Lord our God is more interested in what we're like inside. And inside these people, these chief priests and leaders, they were, first of all, obvious that the people had rejected John the Baptist. They weren't having anything to do with the message that he spoke about preaching and pointing to the coming of the Messiah. And having rejected John the Baptist's ministry, they were moving on now to reject the ministry of the Messiah himself. The Lord knew that inside these people's lives. We cannot hide. We cannot hide these deep thoughts from our God. They couldn't. We can't. But there were others round about in the days of our Lord. Oh, their lifestyle and their behavior looked as if, and the impression it was created was as if they've simply cut loose from anything that was Christian. They were living, as we would say today, in the dregs and in the gutter. Yet, when they were told and shown the gospel, they thought upon their life. They thought upon their soul. And they repented and they turned to trust in Jesus Christ. As we were saying there a moment ago, yes, we can talk about Christian things, we can discuss morals and we can discuss standards, and the way in which they apply to nations or to other people round about us. But when it becomes personal, when it gets down to just you or me alone with God, when words and people are held at arm's length from us, when the simple question comes vividly and powerfully before our minds, am I going to heaven? Am I going to heaven? How am I going to get there? That's the kind of question the Lord puts in our mind and puts us on the spot. How then are we going to get to heaven? And that's the answer this parable gives us. And that's the challenge that he leaves before us. And let's not miss it. It's only those, simply this, it's only those that do the will of his Father. That's the ones for whom heaven's door is open. And so therefore this morning, the one thing, the first thing that I want to draw attention to is that this question is the only question that matters. Which one obeyed the will of his Father? That's discussing it for others. Get it down to ourselves. Am I obeying the will of God? And that's the most important question of all. No other question matters. We can make up different arguments. We can give up different reasons to justify the lifestyle we've got and the priorities that we set. Well, I've got to do this and I've got to do that, and there's this that needs to be attended to and such like. And our life seems to be so dominated and taken up by other things. And the Lord comes and he stands before us and he speaks to us here this morning and he cuts right across that. And he says, every other question is total trivia. Every other question is completely in second place. The most important question of all is, am I obeying God? Our whole life is underneath his eye. He misses nothing and he picks up everything. Everything about our life is assessed. It's valued, it's judged. We hear about in school today, and in not just school, but in all the education establishments, the practice of continuous assessment. That's what our Lord is doing with us. We are always constantly under continuous assessment. And at the end of our life, a conclusion is reached. And what is the thing that is important to God in that conclusion that he comes to about you and me? What's the conclusion? There's only one question that matters. Am I obeying God? Now, we can bring that out very, very vividly, and we can isolate it very simply by an Old Testament formula. All the kings that were ruling over Israel, all the kings that were ruling over God's people, when they came, they said, and such a king came at such and such a year, and he ruled for so many years. And at the end of his life, there was the same formula used again. There was so and such a king, and this is that, and that's that, and these are the things that he did. But one important formula that we always find in that words is this: and he did that which was right, or he did that which was evil in the sight of his God. And besides all these other things, you can find them written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. All these other things, the writer is assessing them, God is assessing them. They're gathered together. Oh yes, he might have built houses, castles, roads. He might have set up agriculture. He might have done this, that, and the other. But they're all set to one side. And the one thing that we're told is, did he obey or did he not his God? Let me give one example. Omri was a king, and it's only one of many. Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. For he walked in all the ways of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. That's the summation of his life. And listen to what he says now. Now the rest of the acts of Omri which he did, and his might that he showed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? His whole life is summed up in that simple phrase, the rest of the acts of Omri. They're secondary. The important thing is that he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Same thing about ourselves. Our whole life, no matter what we've done, we can gather it all together. We may have done a lot, we might have got a lot, we might have helped a lot. But the one feature the Lord looks for and highlights where it can be found in us is this one. Have we obeyed the Lord? Yes or no? And when you come to the New Testament, it doesn't change. That same emphasis is found for us. When you come to just earlier on in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 19, we find that a rich young ruler came to the Lord. And he asked him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord speaks to him plainly and he says to him, "Sell what you've got and take up your cross and follow me." And he went away sad because he was a rich young man. It's an open-ended story. We don't know what the final conclusion was, whether he did sell. Certainly he was wrestling and struggling with things, but we don't know. And perhaps it's left like that so that it can fit to ourselves, every one of us. God speaks to us and he comes to us and he clearly tells us in the gospel what he wants us and requires from us. And the question is, are we obeying the Lord God? What would I do? What would you do in that situation? The only question that really matters, are we obeying God? But then we can come to the best example of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told in one place specifically, he set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. We're told in one place, I have come not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. There our Lord is showing in his life the one really important question of all. The one really important issue for him was obeying the will of his Father. And when you go and listen to him speaking and wrestling in the garden, he's taking the cup. He's about to go to the cross. There he is with a sensitivity that we don't have just now. He's aware of the pain and the anguish of the cross. And he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And then listen to what he says. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. There's something that he dreads. Yes, for his humanity, there's something that he dreads. He dreads the cross. Because of the pain and the anguish and the suffering it is there to obtain forgiveness and salvation for sinners, taking their place. Yes, he dreads it. That's his perfect humanity. But there's something else he dreads even more. He dreads disobeying the will of his Father. That's the most important thing to him. Doing his Father's will. And when you hear him again, this time in John chapter 17, at the very end of his life, he says that he has done, the word he uses is, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. He looks back over his life and there is one consistent theme that runs through the whole of his life. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. He has obeyed the will of his Father. That was vital. That was important. That was something crucial to the Lord Jesus Christ. It mattered to him. And if it matters to him, it must matter to us. Which did the will of his God? Which did the will of his Father? Jesus asks that question. The question that really matters. And he asks that question of me, of you, of each of us. The only question that really matters. Are we obeying the will of our God? Now, I've taken considerable time this morning out of all that's said here and could be said about it, because that's the most important thing for every one of us. The one question that really matters. But I want now to go through some of the detail of this parable quickly and briefly to make other spiritual points for us. First of all, I want us to think again of who it is that is speaking here. It is the command of the Father. It is the Father that is speaking to the two boys. We do have in our own minds today, we have our own image and understanding of who and what God is. And the image that we create about God is so defective and inadequate because we misrepresent God. We think of God being a killjoy, a spoilsport. We think of God bringing in so many, thou shalt not this, that, and the other. But the true picture that we've got of our God and of our Father is a God who cares for us in such an amazing way that he sent his Son into the world so that as many as believe in him should have this gift of everlasting life. Here is the Father speaking, the one who has intentions for good, the one who bestows blessing, the one who has demonstrated care, interest, concern for sinners. He's the one who speaks to these boys, the Father. And he's the one that speaks to us. And he tells us what we must do. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do it, we will not lose out. We will not be the poorer for following our God. The Father speaking. And the Father speaking to each one of the boys in turn. He turns and he gives his time and attention to first of all one, and then he turns and he speaks and he does it to the next. He speaks to them by name. He knows their character. He knows their situation and their circumstance, and he speaks to them on that very personal and very private way. Everything else fades into the background as God speaks to you in that very personal and private way. God's word coming to you perhaps right now as he deals with you over spiritual issues that have far-reaching and long-lasting consequences. And members of the family, and friends and community, and life yesterday and life tomorrow, all of these things suddenly recede into the background. And it's just you and God. And he's speaking to each one of us personally and privately. The same way as the Father spoke to each one of his boys. And we are called to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many texts, we can all make a list of them, a short list of them perhaps. Very familiar texts that maybe we've got them laid up in our memories. Texts that come to us from time to time, and we were thinking of one of them, for example, last Sunday evening. They that honour me, I will honour them. We can all quote it almost for memory. But there's another text that is in the same portion of Scripture, and it is this one. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Our Lord is saying there, yes, we can go through the ritual and the process and the procedure of going through the sacrifice, and our minds can be roaming in the four corners of the earth. We can come to a service and we can come to a sermon and we can listen to what's been said by the minister. And every now and again we dislocate and we disentangle and our minds are running over the face of the earth with friends and business and such like. Yes, we can offer sacrifice. But God is saying something better than that is required from us. He says, to obey is better than sacrifice. God is looking for that commitment, that obedience from us. That is what the Lord looks for in us now. And there is not only the Father speaking unto each of the sons, but also look at the urgency with which he's speaking. He says, today, go work in my vineyard. Today. We are in the sunset of our days, perhaps. How long has it been since we first heard the gospel message? How many more messages do we need to hear? We know enough. We know what God requires from us. God has given us the message. He's given us the opportunity. He's given us the time. God has been working in our lives, bringing home to us the emptiness of life as we've lived it. He's brought home to us disappointments and spiritual things. He's shown to us the conclusion of the lifestyle we've opted for on the broad road, that it's going to lead us down to damnation and to hell. These are the things that God has been bringing home to us all through our life up till this point. How many more times do we need to hear it? There's an urgency. Today. How long are we going to linger on thin ice? We're only a breath away from meeting God. In these past weeks over on the canal, there have been notices every here and there walking down the canal bank. Don't risk your life. Stay off the ice. Surely that applies, if it applies to the water in the canal, surely that applies in a spiritual sense to ourselves. If you're skating on thin ice with your soul at risk, then get off before hardness sets in. While you still have opportunity, today is the appointed time. You don't know how long you've got past today. Use the opportunity, therefore, to call upon the name of God. Yes, the command of the Father speaking to these boys. But how did the boys respond in turn? One says, yes, I'll go. After a while, he forgets. At the end of the day, he's achieved nothing. And perhaps all the while, he's thinking of his own promise that he made that he hasn't fulfilled. Yes, I'll do it. But he soon forgets. But then there's the other one. Well, let's not leave it at that. There's so many different sharp images. There's so many experiences and scenes that we can take before our minds where God has been speaking to us and we've said, yes, Lord, I'll go, I'll do it. How many times has that come to us and the Lord has spoken to us, maybe on the Sunday evening of a communion season, or maybe at a gospel service and special services, maybe because of literature that we've got and we're reading it, gospel there presented before us, and we're saying, yes, Lord, I'll go this time. I'll do it. And we come away, we close the book, and we get on with the rest of our lives. And we don't do it. That's one of the boys here. The primary thing is to obey what God says. It's not so much where we start, it's where we finish that matters. And if we're not obeying God, we're in a fearful place. But then, yes, let's go and look at the other one. What about this other boy? He was brash. He was brutal in his response. Me? I'm not going. Naked rebellion. Bristling with hostility. I'm away. I'm off ski. And yet he repents. And he goes. He's aware of the offense that he's created. He's aware that he sinned against his Father, as we must be aware that we've sinned against Almighty God. We've got to be aware. We've got to be aware of what God requires of us. And we've got to sit down and think of it and apply it to where we are and the life that we're living. And we've got to come to the realization, yes, this is what God requires of me. And if I don't measure up, I'm not going to enter in. The question we ask at the top of our sermon, who's going to enter the kingdom of God? And maybe there's a quiet moment in the midst of this pace of life. Maybe you sit and you think, who's going to enter in? But not just simply, who's going to enter in? But am I going to enter in? And as soon as we pose the question like that, another one comes from this parable. Am I obeying God? Felix was a Roman leader. And Felix had Paul come to preach to him. He did it often. Paul preached about righteousness, about temperance, about judgment to come. And as he preached about these things, the effect on Felix was astonishing. We could say that his knees were knocking. He was reduced to fear and terror because of the pictures and the presentation that Paul made. But did he change? He kept on putting it off for a convenient season. Yes, we hear it. Yes, it affects us. But are we changed by it? No. The danger of delays. The danger that is highlighted for us in so many different people, in these two boys, they challenge us, they confront us, of saying we'll go, and we don't go. Saying that we're not going and repenting and coming back in bruised knees and broken heart to the Lord. Think of the prodigal son. That's another son. He went off and he spent all that he had in riotous living life to the hilt. And in a distant land, he thought. He stopped. And he thought about where he was and what he'd been doing. He thought about those back home in his father's house and the way they were being looked after, and he was so destitute. And he thought, I'm going back. That's the reaction that the Lord is looking for in him, in us, in one of these sons. That reaction of repenting, coming to our spiritual senses, turning from our rebellious ways, coming back and casting ourselves on the mercies of our God. And one of the ministries of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah, what is the one thing that he says he will do? He will heal the brokenhearted. When we come back with that burden on our conscience and a broken heart because of the way we've offended our God, the way in which we've lived in so much rebellion against him, the way in which we've lived always defying him to his face, when we have the realization of that coming home to us, it's a fearful weight to carry. It's a fearful thing in our soul, in our conscience. It breaks us and it puts us down. And the only one who can heal us then is the Lord Jesus Christ. We come and we cast ourselves upon his mercy. We come and we look to him for pardon and forgiveness. We come and we trust our souls to him. How are we going to enter in? How are we going to be right with God? How are we going to be saved? The word of the Lord to us, as we've heard it so often in the past, obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he looked for in these sons. That's what he looks for still. That's what the Lord is looking for now with us, that we would obey him and trust him. And as the Lord is looking for it now with us, the question is, what does he see in you and me? Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we come before thee seeking that thou wouldst by thy Spirit work in us to achieve a spiritual work, bringing us to our sense and bringing us to thy feet, bringing us with repentance and with true faith and commitment to thee. O gracious Lord and God, leave us not in the hardness and hostility and darkness of our own creating round about us. But, O Lord, in thy power and might, break in and awaken us and alert us and save us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and at verse 59. And particularly as we've been thinking there of repentance, read and sing these words. Psalm 119 at verse 59. I thought upon my former ways, and did my life well try. And to thy testimonies pure my feet then turned I. I did not stay nor linger long as those as slothful are, but hastily thy laws to keep myself I did prepare. Bands awful men me robbed, yet I thy precepts did not slight. I rise at midnight thee to praise, even for thy judgments right. I am companion to all those who fear and thee obey. O Lord, thy mercy fills the earth. Teach me thy laws, I pray. Psalm 119 at 59. I thought upon my former ways.